Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and you can bring up whatever you want to discuss. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Bonnie, and Coconut is gagging.
Poor Coconut.
So sorry if you guys can't.
He got a new type of food today, and
he really liked it.
It went down easy, but apparently some of it's coming back up.
Yeah, I think that every time you feed a dog a new food, it's usually like, disruptive to their digestive system. It's a good food. It's better for him than the last one. But yeah, he was like picking out only the new pieces and not eating any of the new old ones because I had mixed it, because that's what you're supposed to do to introduce dog to a new food. But he was like,
well, you didn't really mix it; you just kind of put it on top.
But
either way,
he
still would have picked it out.
But I didn't know he was going to do that. I thought he was just going to eat whatever went in his mouth.
You want to go check on him?
Okay.
So the number here is 603-283-6160. We've been talking about the ability for people to record in courthouses, which in some places apparently in the country you can't even do. You can't record in the courtroom, or they make it very, very difficult. Here in New Hampshire, we've had a long history of recording video in courts. I personally have done probably days and days and days worth of recording. I don't even want to think about how many hours of court I have recorded in the last decade. Actually, I've been here now almost 17 years. This weekend, Labor Day weekend, will be 17 years for me here in New Hampshire. I moved here in 2006 as part of the Free State Project. And we still have people moving here as part of that that migration. And some of those people were out today, including our very own Riley Blake and Dave Ridley. Both came along with us today. Me, Chris, and Bonnie all rode up, carpooled together to Hillsboro District Court, which is, you know, kind of one of New Hampshire's many podunk towns. And this was a podunk court for sure.
This is the most podunk court I've ever seen in my life.
It's very, very small. The court lobby is maybe twice the size of this room that we're in right
now.
Courts
just can't win. We either say, oh, they're so opulent and gross because they're just, or we're like, this was a podunk court.
Well, no, they can't win. They're terrible.
Yeah.
there was one security officer there who literally pulled out a script. Like, there was a sheet that he was following in the very beginning. I'm sure you can see it when you, if you watch the video from today from Press NH Now, which I presume.
Well, because they were notified.
I don't know if he was, he wasn't streaming, so that video may not be out yet, but.
Wait, what video?
Oh. The video Press NH Now was recording today. He was recording the whole time he was in there, and so you'll probably be able to see the officer up front. He literally pulls up some sheets of paper and just straight up reads off the sheet like, okay, if they don't comply, then call the police. It was basically telling him what to do in the circumstance.
Yeah, because Footloose and Presidential had went to the Supreme Court in New Hampshire.
That was earlier in the day.
And they had told them that that's what they planned to go do. Go record in the lobby.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that they would have called down to Hillsboro Court to let them know about that.
Yeah, they probably
would. But also, if they had done that, I would have expected them to have more than one security guy on duty, and they only had one guy. So I don't know if they actually did call, but maybe they did. Anyway, we showed up with a good group of people that came out on very short notice to make a stand for recording in these court areas. Unfortunately, if you want to challenge a bad law, you usually have to throw yourself into the meat grinder of the government system in order to actually make that challenge. you can't just go and file a case against what you consider to be a bad law because right. they will say you don't have standing. Even though theoretically the law could be applied to you, because the law is not applied to you or has not yet been applied to you, you have no standing. And
it's crazy because in this case, usually you'd say, oh, well, talk to your state reps, but you can't even change it with the state reps because it's the court. Policy.
Yeah, I think state reps could do very, very little about this besides amend the Constitution, which, of course, is not an easy thing to
really
do.
Difficult.
But I was going to say that I encountered this lack of standing issue during COVID. I don't know if you remember this, Aria, Bonnie, but me and Aria and a lady who is a local entrepreneur here, sadly passed away, named Malaise,
yep.
who ran the great, once great restaurant,
that's so great.
Keene Grade, that was the name of the restaurant here in Keene.
It was a pho noodle restaurant?
Correct, it was a pho noodle restaurant. She and Aria and I were the plaintiffs in a case against the city of Keene when they had a mask mandate in place.
Oh, yeah, they said you didn't have standing to complain because no one had like taken your rights away
right.
for not wearing a mask.
Right. So because the Keene police, to their credit, were refusing to enforce the Keene mask mandate. They never arrested anybody for it. They never really even threatened anybody
over
it. I
wouldn't characterize it as they were refusing to do anything about the mask mandate.
I would, because they were refusing to do anything about the mask mandate. Even Keene police officer Jason Short spoke
out. That came about
out.
A lot later, and he was like, you know, it would have been a lot more heroic of him if it was like right away. That came out a lot later when businesses were already not, like, getting people trespassed over it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he did speak out against it, though, and, I mean, he does deserve some credit for that, regardless of what other disagreements I might have with him. Keene police made public statements anytime we were around them that they weren't going to do anything about the masks. It was not the official policy, Bonnie, so the chief doesn't deserve credit for this. The Keene police chief was playing very political with it. You know, he was like, well, we're here to do our job, and we'll do whatever job we got to do. Or something. He had this very sort of vague statement that he made about it, which didn't really say they were going to enforce it, and it didn't really say that they weren't going to enforce that they were. You know, he didn't really, like, make a real firm position on the issue. But the officers themselves, when you were to actually speak to them in person, they would just be like, yeah, this is ridiculous. We're not going to waste our time.
But if somebody was like, okay, I ordered you to go do something about it, they would have done it. Like you're making it sound like they were like, we will not comply. Like, that didn't happen.
I'm not saying that's what they were saying, but no one, I mean, they were under, what if you want to consider what the Keene City Council was doing, in order, they passed an ordinance. Is that not an order to the Keene police?
With a huge out, right?
Well, the out all the time for the police is their discretion, which is what they did today.
No, I meant that the people going into businesses, if they said they had a medical condition and couldn't wear a mask, they didn't have to.
Yeah, I guess that was in there, if I recall correctly. But
and everyone has the medical condition that they have to breathe correctly, right?
Yeah, but not everybody's going to know that. They're not necessarily going to claim that. They never wrote a single ticket for it, and the officers themselves were protesting the idea of enforcing it.
But
that's
either way,
the fact.
The reason you brought it up was to say, since you didn't actually get, like, kicked out of a restaurant for not wearing a mask, the court said, oh, you guys don't have standing because you didn't get abused by this law.
Right. They tossed this lawsuit that we brought against the city of Keene and I think against the governor as well for their mask mandates. They threw it out. So it's a fact. You have to have your rights violated. Not just the theory that your rights could be violated. Not just the fact that there is a law on the books that is violative in theory of people's rights. The law has to be enforced upon you before you have standing in their court system, their crappy system, to actually potentially overturn that law. Otherwise, you just have to, like you were saying, Bonnie, beg the legislature to do something about it, to change their minds.
And if they can't, like, contempt.
Yeah, so we're going to keep you in the loop as this continues to develop. I have invited Press NH Now on the show. He's not sure if he wants to bring more attention to himself as an individual. He just wants to bring attention to the government and their corruption that is out there, which is now again on display as he has just been arrested within about the last hour or so for so-called disorderly conduct at the Hillsborough Police. Again, earlier today, Hillsborough Police declined to arrest him. He almost begged them to arrest. I don't think you were there for this part. He just basically threw out the challenge. He said, look, I am not going to stop recording. You can go ahead and arrest me. You know, he basically asked them to arrest him today.
Yep.
And the police declined to arrest him. And that was evidence of the police using what is called discretion. And if an officer ever says to you that they have to arrest you for something, oh, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. It's the law. I've got to do it. No. No, police have discretion. That means they can choose whether or not to enforce the so-called law.
The only exception is something like if they witness somebody murdering someone.
Yes, there are certain felony exceptions. Yeah. Yes, there are certain felony exceptions to discretion. But for the most part, most quote-unquote crimes, police can decide, oh, no, this is a BS charge. We're just going to walk away from this. And that is what they did today. Now, actually, they didn't walk away. The full story is, we waited there until the end of the court day. So court ends at, 4 o'clock. The courts close at 4 because they don't hold regular business hours. They hold bureaucrat quote-unquote business hours. And so the cops just basically hung out. We'd gone there at 3 o'clock, and we went in, waited for State Representative Jason Gerhard to arrive. And when he arrived, we all went in together. So we were there for a good chunk of an hour. And the cops just basically hung around and chatted with some of the activists about the law and about this illegal order, this unconstitutional order of the courts banning recording. They tried to get people to stop recording, but it never really happened, and they never did anything about it. So essentially they stood down today. And they've stood down on this issue in recent years, which is a good thing. But I think the big question, and we haven't really touched on this part yet, the big question that I think Footloose and Press NH Now asked today that really obviously doesn't have an answer because the cops aren't going to be honest about this is if it's not one of us, quote, the activists, the libertarian, pro-freedom activists here in New Hampshire, if it isn't the known activist person who's going into the court, if it's just like an average person, who they get it in their head, they're going to pull out a video camera and record the court bureaucrats doing what they do. And they get intimidated into stopping recording. Are they going to be arrested because they don't know their rights? Because they, can easily be run roughshod over top of? Are they going to treat non-activists or new activists or unknown people differently than they treated us today?
Yeah.
Would they have treated Press NH Now differently if he were alone? If he had gone to that court alone?
And maybe without ever going to the Supreme Court and telling them that he planned to do that?
Yeah, if he'd just shown up and just kept recording, and then he was outnumbered by the police, because we outnumbered them.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you'll see...
I was hiding. I was reaching over around the wall to take pictures of him.
So what happens when you outnumber the police is it changes the dynamics of the power situation.
It turns them into good cop mode.
Well, as I said, they were on their best behavior today. There's no doubt about that. And so, again, what would have happened if it was just one person? What if it was just Press NH Now? Well, he knows his rights. He's going to make a good stand regardless of whether anyone else is there to witness it or not. But as we saw on the video from his YouTube channel from within the last hour, being alone, when he went to the police department, he got arrested. Now, would that have gone differently if there were 15 people there or several, 8 people there or something like that, like there was today? And again, the average person, if they go in there and they try something like this, what's going to happen to them? That is a question we don't have the answer to. The only way to find out the answer to that would be to send somebody into the court who is not already a known YouTuber.
Somebody or free skater.
Yeah, somebody they're not going to recognize when they walk in the door, and have them put this to the test and see what happens. But I don't, you know, there's not a long line of people that are standing
but
there
if
waiting to do that.
They are going after anyone else who does it who's not a free stater or activist. Isn't that pretty, like, is that not illegal in some way? Like,
how would that be illegal?
Not favoritism, but the opposite of favoritism?
Discrimination.
Yeah, discrimination.
No, I don't think you would be able to claim that because, I mean, that was what I think Press NH Now suggested toward the end of the day today. But no, I don't think you'd be able to claim that because the police would just say, well, we were using discretion.
I mean, you can't get them in trouble for anything. So.
No, basically not. And so this is still developing. We will continue to keep you in the loop. Bonnie, was there anything else that you wanted to share about today's goings-on?
There was one thing I wanted to say, and I can't forget what it is now. So.
Well, if it comes back up, that's fine. You can bring it up. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Law Dog on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Law Dog.
Hey, how you doing, Ian?
What's on your mind tonight?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's on your mind?
Oh, I haven't called in a while. What's your gig there? Have you been sentenced yet or not?
Not at this point. You're referring to the Crypto 6 case, which you can go to thecrypto6.com to learn more about why the federal government thugs raided our studio and our home and multiple homes of some of our friends and co-hosts back in March of 2021. I am scheduled for a sentencing hearing on September 11th at federal court at 10 a.m. in Concord, New Hampshire. So that's the current date and time.
Okay. All right. What kind of time are you looking at? Sentencing guidelines is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's the guidelines say I think 15 to 20 years. So that is the guideline range. Of course, the judge can sentence outside of the guidelines. He can depart above and he can depart below, as they call it. So it could be anything.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, the nation's got to get together here and get somebody to pardon the Crypto 6, and you can put me first in line on that, brothers, okay?
You're going to somehow pardon us? How does that work?
No, I'm going to I'm gonna ask for the presidential candidates
that's
out
nice.
There.
That's very kind of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're going to ask them to pardon you. Which one do you think... on those Republican dog turd sides, you think you'd be best to that would pardon you?
None of them.
I have no expectation that any of the mainstream candidates would pardon the Crypto 6, but Aaron Day certainly would, who
yeah.
is the Republican. You don't even have to ask him. He probably is,
okay,
is already
what about,
planning
what
on
What about
that.
The Democrats? What douchebags on a Democrat?
I said I don't expect any of the mainstream candidates to pardon the Crypto 6. I know that the RFK guy and the Vivek guy are pimping towards the Bitcoiners, but I think that's just they just want the Bitcoiners' money. I don't think they actually care about Ross Ulbricht or anything like that.
You just got to stop running them down, you know, and those guys are open-minded.
No, they're not.
Really don't give a crap about you. It's about the principles over personalities, and I think you'll win if, you know.
These people don't have principles.
Come down, right?
They don't have principles. If they have a principle, it is the
I
principle of power.
I think that's what he's saying, Ian. I think he's saying that they don't give a crap about you, but they want voters, right?
Yeah. It would be a public relations thing.
I don't know if
but
Ian.
Why?
What do you think, Bonnie? What do you think?
I don't think that it's the most productive way to like get your hopes up about like a good outcome for Ian because even
well, you gotta have some hope with if you're facing 10 to 20.
I have more.
I mean, I would shoot
hope.
For it. I'd even do some fundraising for it if I were you guys. You guys got the medium to do that.
But what do you do with money? Like when a jury has convicted you of 8 crimes? What do you use the money for?
Well, I don't know. I guess.
Well,
I'm
Law Dog, I appreciate your
no.
optimism.
No,
I,
I'm an optimist also. I'm just
yeah.
saying. All I'm saying is I wouldn't ever expect any presidential candidate to actually do anything for anyone. I don't even expect if Vivek Ramaswamy wins.
Okay, wait a second here. Wait a second. I'll say this. Pardon me. Forgive me the crap about you guys, okay?
That's very nice. I know. I'm not trying to tell you that I don't appreciate what you're saying. I just don't have any expectation
yeah, okay.
that presidential candidates will give a rat's rear end about our circumstances here. These are not people who are about compassion. They're not about showing compassion. They're about, you know, tough on crime nonsense.
Rosenberg has like over 500,000 petitions about him. Ian doesn't get anything like that. No matter what he's given to the Free State Project, they don't care. They're just like, we can't talk about him because that could make us look bad and we won't be able to sell as many houses because we're all real estate agents now.
We should be talking about him. He's got the testicles of an elephant. He's going forward with this. Now, come on.
Well,
you know?
I mean, Bonnie doesn't disagree with you, Law Dog.
I don't like this defeatist attitude that you guys got.
No, it's not defeatist. I am optimistic about
hope you
the
guys.
Whole thing.
Are you going to crap on my hope that I have for you guys? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm only trying to crap on the hope about the president, the candidates for president, but not. I'm an optimist about Ian's situation. Like,
yeah, I think we'll
in God.
Have success based on the appeal, honestly, more so than a situation with some great man who's going to swoop in on his magic carpet and, you know...
Come on, Ian. He's Indian, not Middle Eastern with a flying carpet.
I wasn't even thinking of Vivek in that case.
Oh, you're looking for the magic carpet ride, huh? Is that it? That was a 70s tune.
Yeah, I'm well aware of it. Hey, Law Dog, thank you for the kind words. I do appreciate it, and thank you for the call tonight. I'm just not going to look to the presidential candidates as the solution here. Unfortunately, it seems, at least from the people that were on the jury in the Crypto 6 case, it doesn't seem like the jury has any value towards helping Bitcoiners or looking at cryptocurrency people as good people. I'm saying, based on the jury's decision in my case, where there was no evidence of any of these so-called crimes, but they convicted me anyway.
Of all eight, yeah.
Of all eight crimes, including one that has now been overturned after the fact of the conviction, because it was so full of it, that even the judge had to admit that this never should have gone to the jury, and he threw out the money laundering count.
And that, like, doesn't happen to people, by the way. It's not like it's like every time you go to trial, basically the judge will throw out a couple. No, that doesn't happen. The jury already decided that he was guilty of the thing, and the judge said, yeah, no, that one's getting thrown out.
No, it would have been nice if he'd done the same thing for the other seven counts.
Yeah.
So he hasn't done that, so we're going to have to.
I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm saying that's how full of it this charge was.
We're going to have to go to the appeals on this after sentencing.
And hopefully you can stay out on appeal.
That's a possibility. I don't know how likely it is, but it could happen. There's options that we have here. People who go for pardons are people who have no options remaining, like Ross Ulbricht. He has exhausted his appeals. He has no other option besides a presidential pardon or commutation. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join the show. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump has pleaded not guilty to charges in his election interference case in Georgia. He also won't appear for arraignment as scheduled next week.
That's because he has waived his scheduled arraignment that was set for Wednesday morning and waived his right to appear before a judge during that arraignment.
Correspondent Blaine Alexander. Trump and 18 co-defendants face racketeering charges. Also Thursday, the judge in the case agreed to allow cameras in the courtroom for all proceedings going forward, live feeds, which will be streamed on YouTube. Preliminary estimates show Hurricane Dahlia may have caused between $12 billion and $20 billion in damage. That's according to Moody's Analytics, which said Thursday the price tag won't be nearly as high as other major hurricanes. The National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Ian caused more than $110 billion in total damage last year. It was the third costliest U.S. hurricane on record. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. Join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Bonnie here tonight. You can join us online, of course, as well over at freetalklive.com. And definitely want to say thanks to our supporters of our AMPS program, like Andrew Loy, who is a silver level supporter, meaning Andrew's contributing $5 a month through amps.freetalklive.com. It takes you over to our Patreon page, amps.freetalklive.com. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live. Makes a big difference for us, helps us advertise, market, promote, and support what we do. But if you don't like Patreon, and there are reasons not to like it, then you can support Odyssey. You can support the show through our Odyssey channel as well. Go to video.freetalklive.com, and you can click on Join at the top of the page, and then your fee that comes, I think it's actually added on top of the $5 through Odyssey, but a portion of that fee will go to support the good folks over at Odyssey and their great platform that we are live video streaming on every single night. So thank you to our supporters on Patreon. Thank you to our supporters on Odyssey. Odyssey supporters just got a new perk last week where we have locked down the Odyssey chat room to members only.
So. And I have to deal with the annoying YouTube gang that used to be on the YouTube chat, and all they do is go like, Ian Freeman's a criminal. Bitcoin is a scam.
Yeah, yeah, it got really tiresome. So that's all
they
gone.
They do the same things every night.
Every single night. It's almost like they're a robot on
the
script.
Yeah, they're like AI.
So anyway, that's all out of there now, so you can get in there. Go to video.freetalklive.com and click on Join. Let's go to the phones here. Tom is on the line in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, it's about Donald Trump. And, I mean, it's pretty obvious that he's no good. that he's a crazy tyrant who's furious that he didn't get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when you say a candidate defeated another candidate, don't forget it's not like they were playing chess where they made the chess move that caused the defeat or the checkmate. It's more like the voters defeated a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, I mean, Donald Trump is such a totally crazy tyrant who's totally unfit to hold public office, but he could very well win the Republican nomination, and Joe Biden is so bad that Trump might wind up getting elected. And the way to prevent that is where the Constitution says in Article 2, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors. You know, down in Georgia, maybe the legislature will say, okay, just for 2024 only, Governor Brian Kemp will appoint the electors, and he's not going to appoint people who are pro-Trump. And just for 2024, the New Hampshire electors are going to be appointed by Governor Chris Sununu, because he knows better than to appoint people who would vote for Trump.
Hold on, are you saying this? Are you speculating about this, or are you saying this is going to happen?
This is what they need to do, because the national security of the United States depends on Trump not getting elected.
Oh, please, as though that really matters.
I actually, zoned out for his whole call. I just don't care about Trump and all this stuff.
Yeah, apparently he really believes that Trump is some sort of a danger to so-called national security. I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, he brought those top-secret documents to Mar-a-Lago.
So what?
Didn't Hillary Clinton do the same thing? Who cares?
Well, you know, he's...
And why do you care about national security anyway? I mean, aren't you supposed to be a critic of the government?
I think they're all bad. I'm not saying, Trump is great. Hillary Clinton sucks. I'm saying, they're all so bad. We just need to separate ourselves from their system, not worry about who's in charge.
Shouldn't all their documents be available for inspection anyway? I mean...
Right.
There's certain ones that are secret for, the locations of submarines and stuff like that. But, the national security of the United States should not be trampled for the benefit of somebody setting up a dictatorship instead.
Donald Trump could take care of our libertariat problem for us.
I don't know
what
that means. What does that mean?
He works on submarines.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Tom, for the call. And I'm kind of surprised to hear that call from Tom, because he has purported to be a libertarian in the past.
He's always seemed very anti-cop and
government. Yeah, and
government.
For him to get on the air and start trumpeting about how important national security is and how important secrets for the government are is a real change of character for him.
He loves the Patriot Act now.
Tom, you mean?
Yeah, he loves the NSA now.
Very strange. Very strange call. The number 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want here. So let's change gears a little bit here, Bonnie. There's something called the Jones Act. Do you know what that is?
It means that a ship can't leave the United States and then go to a different port in the United States to transfer goods and sell them.
Only if it is a U.S. ship.
So U.S. ships can't leave one port from the U.S. and travel to another port in the U.S.?
No, only U.S. ships can go from one port in the U.S. to another port in the U.S.
Okay, okay.
So that is what the Jones Act is. It's been around now for 103 years. It was
and it really messes things up, makes things expensive, keeps lots of people out of jobs.
Yeah, 1920 was when the Merchant Marine Act, according to the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy at jbartlett.org, and they've got an interesting story here about the Jones Act and how it's affecting, the wildfires in Maui, or I don't know if they were wildfires or whatever they were, the huge fires that happened down there. Well, I don't know if they were human-set or if they figured out where they came from, but it did a lot of damage, right? A lot of people died, a lot of property got destroyed, and that's horrible. And it's horrible that anybody has to go through a situation like that. But to make matters worse, it is more difficult to actually get relief, like new things to build a house back with, or food from the Red Cross, or whatever, right? Like different things that are supposed to be coming in to help people in a circumstance like this. It makes it more difficult to get those things if you are only allowed to use U.S.-based shipping ships to do it.
Yeah, like when Puerto Rico was completely, almost decimated because of a hurricane, the Jones Act was messing up getting them supplies.
Correct. And the same thing is now happening in Maui. So according to Josiah Bartlett, they say that even some who typically support government intervention in the economy are now speaking out against the century-old law. It's a federal law, the Jones Act, that restricts shipping between U.S. ports to ships that are U.S.-owned, U.S.-built, and U.S.-crewed only.
So gross.
So that really narrows it down. You can't even buy a ship from somewhere else, even if you are a U.S.-based company. You have to buy a ship built in the United States.
It's like, if anyone is listening and thinks, yeah, well, it's going to give America a lot more jobs and money that way. No, it literally makes people poorer.
Yes,
in America and outside.
And this article explains why that is. In case it's not obvious to you why protectionism doesn't work, the restrictions make it harder for mainlanders to help their fellow Americans, such as Puerto Ricans and Hawaiians, after serious disasters. Seeing this, the Boston Globe has called for the act's full repeal, citing increased costs of cargo and shipping and the delayed arrival of relief aid. The Globe said this in their article, quote, "Relief efforts for Americans who happen to live on islands are hampered by a century-old shipping law that delays the arrival of short-term aid and makes long-term recovery more difficult and costly." You've surely heard about how expensive it is to live on an island, right?
Just because shipping is way more expensive.
Right. You've got to ship everything in. You can't just, you know, they can't make everything on the island, right? Like, there's only so much you can do there. And so there's incredible cost to ship things to an island. So if you are only allowed to use certain shipping companies, a very limited number of them, then that's going to increase the cost of shipping because you don't have free market competition. You don't have global competition going on.
Because why is that important, though? Competition drives prices down because
Correct.
People will say, I'm willing to do this job for X amount of money, and somebody else says, well, I'm willing to do it for X, which is a less amount of money.
Instead, you get a limited amount of players in a very restricted market, which is to say the U.S.-based, U.S.-built, U.S.-owned ships.
And they can charge whatever they want.
Yeah, they basically have a cartel, and so it runs the prices up. Well, not a monopoly, a cartel or an oligopoly, a small group that are benefiting from this. They say here, by connecting the Maui tragedy to the Jones Act, the Boston Globe has put itself on the side of long overdue free market reform in this policy area. The Globe says further, foreign shipbuilding long ago outstripped that being done in the United States, and it's far less expensive. A recently constructed container ship built to serve Hawaii from the mainland carried a price tag of more than $225 million, according to the Cato Institute. Compare that, $225 million, to what it would cost for a similar South Korean-built ship, which is only $41 million.
Mm. Operating, that seems crazy.
That is crazy. It's a huge difference.
But it's a huge difference, but still, $41 million is crazy.
Well, I mean, these are huge ships for, you know, cargo shipping, and they're not cheap.
Mm.
Operating costs of American vessels, that same study noted, are roughly three times that of their international counterparts. Well, why is that? Well, that's probably because of unions, for instance. These ship unions or whatever, the people that are running these ships are getting a tremendous amount of money for doing these jobs, three times as much to run the ship as what it would cost from, you know, South Korea or some other place in Asia or wherever else these things are shipping out of, where you don't have to pay people as much to do the same job. Thus, the Protectionist Jones Act simply adds to the cost of everything carried on those vessels. Because whatever the costs are of the company that has to do the work, the customer has to pay for those costs. So if it costs three times as much to run the product, you're going to pay three times as much to ship the product, at least, if not more. A 2020 study by the Grassroot Institute of Hawaii estimated the Jones Act cost the average Hawaiian family some $1,800 a year just for the quote-unquote benefit of getting your products off of a ship run by Americans. Is that something you are willing to pay?
There'd be no possible way that even if it was like, well, we're keeping all the money in the American economy, there'd be no way that you'd be saving based on what you just told me about how much it costs to the family.
$1,800 a year.
It's crazy.
Is that something you're willing to pay for this fantasy about helping Americans every year? And the cost of the island, some $1.2 billion per year.
Whoa.
What is more important to you? This sort of fanciful concept of helping American shipping companies that cost three or four or five times too much to get not that great a service? Or is it more important that your family get the best product at the best price in the best, fastest manner? Because that's what you're not getting. That is the opportunity cost here. You can see the number at $1,800, but that doesn't explain the delays that you have to deal with, the inaccessibility of getting the things that you want shipped to you when you want them from where you want them shipped.
Just consider there is another way, and it's just we aren't allowed to do it a better way because of the government.
After Hurricane
Fiona
struck Puerto Rico, this is what you were talking about, Bonnie, last September, the Globe pointed out at that time that the Jones Act hindered relief efforts and subsequently called for its repeal then. They said at the time, once again, Puerto Ricans are paying the price for an antiquated shipping law that makes food and other goods more expensive on the island.
I can't remember. Did Trump allow that?
Allow what?
Like an exemption during...
I don't know. That was last September, so it wouldn't have been Trump.
Oh.
The law is inexcusable in ordinary times and downright scandalous now when the island is reeling from yet another natural disaster. I remember the example that we were given at the time, Bonnie, of this particular application was that there was literally an oil shipping, derrick or whatever, derrick's not the right word, an oil shipping container that was out there off the coast of Puerto Rico. After this hurricane, it was literally within eyesight of Puerto Rico, but it was not allowed to dock in Puerto Rico and deliver any of the oil from that ship because it wasn't a U.S.-based ship.
It was just docking.
Just sitting there. Just absolutely insane.
That'd be some great civil disobedience if they're just like, you know what, we don't care, and they just went.
Yeah, great question. Are there going to be men with guns that hold them at bay? And prevent them from
offloading
oil. Not
from the Puerto Ricans, right?
Well, they've got feds down there, too.
Yeah, but...
So who knows? Going on. 100 years of protectionism in the U.S. shipping has... protectionism in U.S. shipping has artificially inflated the price of goods for all Americans, as well as the cost of shipping itself. And by shielding U.S. shipbuilders from foreign competition, the Jones Act has stunted U.S. shipbuilding while the rest of the world has thrived in a competitive global market. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, the United States has only 99 ships that are Jones Act compliant for domestic transports. 99 ships. That's literally nothing. That is all of the ships that they have to ship products from one American port to another.
Wow.
Meanwhile, there are more than 60,000 commercial vessels in the entire ocean around the world.
So they can come to the United States, obviously. They just can't go from one port to another. They have to go somewhere else, and that's causing extremely, you know, it's pumping up the prices. Because if you got to be like, well, we could go from California to this lower part of California, but instead we're going to have to go from California to somewhere far away. I don't even know what else is out there in Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
To some Pacific island and then come back to California.
Stupid. It makes absolutely no sense. Great. And it is putting people out of a job. This article doesn't get into it, but there was another story I'd read where, and I think Libertariat in our chat room over at chat.freetalklive.com is referencing this, how the number of U.S. ships has been going down over time.
Why?
Well, because it's just not worth it to keep making these ships when you can make, you know, when the demand for shipping is global. If you're going to build a ship and start a shipping company, why would you want to do it with the United States, where you have to pay four times as much for the ship and three times as much for the crew?
Hmm.
When you could just go and get a ship for a fraction of the cost from South Korea, crew it with people from, you know, Africa or whatever, and get into the shipping business.
Yep.
So it's just driving people out of the business, even though they're, quote-unquote, protected. even though they're a protected industry, it's protecting them right out of a job. It's protecting them out of getting contracts.
That's terrible. And people are tricked, you know, by just, well, they said they're protecting us.
Yeah.
It's like unions, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the radio business. They're protecting the radio industry right out of listeners and moving them over to the internet where there's no, there's plenty of competition and there's no regulation.
What are they doing on the radio? What are they protecting?
The licenses protect radio stations from other stations coming on the air. So there's a very limited supply of radio stations because of the government.
And you're saying if there that wasn't, then more good
there'd be more choices. You'd have more listening options on the air.
And people might be more interested in that than the same crap that's been playing.
Exactly. Yeah, if all you had to do was pay for a transmitter and an antenna, and then you could just go on the air, it would cost next to nothing to have your own radio station. But instead, you have to apply with the government, and they only open up the application window once every 10 years.
Wouldn't it be so cool if, like, all your neighbors had their own, like, little radio stations? You could know whenever they were, like, blogging about themselves over the airwaves. Whenever you wanted to, and all your neighbors had their own hot air balloons to fly around in the air. I'm just still stuck on this ever since I found out about the Hindenburg.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a fake disaster that they made because they're like, this is so good, and people could end up flying these themselves, like their own like smaller version of these blimps. And
you think they faked the Hindenburg?
Yeah, so I think that they blew up the Hindenburg, so that way...
Were there really people on it who died?
Yeah, they probably really died. They just sacrificed those people so they could be like, look, this is so dangerous. We gotta have...
I mean, it was full of hydrogen, right?
We gotta have only jets, and we gotta only have commercial pilots fly them, and we gotta make sure the government controls all the planes. Instead of you just being like, listen, I gotta go from New Hampshire to Connecticut to pick up my friend. I'm gonna take... the blimp, because I can just fly right over all the highways, and at a slow speed, it'd be easier to land than, like, learning how to ride a plane, or drive a plane, or fly a plane. Anyway, so all I'm trying to bring up is, wouldn't it be great if the government just got out of the way and let people do people things? Like, how many amazing things would be going on in our world?
Yeah,
flying cars, I mean, that's literally a fact that flying cars have been invented already.
Yeah, they were invented in the 70s.
And the federal government was like, yeah, no, we can't allow that.
Pretty much.
No, literally.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about the flying car. It was like 1979 or something that was, I'm forgetting the name of it right now. The Sky Car, the Mueller Sky Car was like the first... what was supposed to be mass-producible flying car, and the FAA just said, yeah, that's not an option.
It doesn't matter what perks that Skeeter thinks the government gives him.
Skeeter's
the government
caller.
Gives me these perks for being a citizen. I mean, that's a pretty sad outlook, considering how much better his life could be if the government just got out of the way.
Well, that's the unseen. That's just like, you can't see what's being taken from you.
Just a person with no imagination.
Mm-hmm. So
I got highways thanks to the government. You guys better stop fighting my government because I want my government so I can have highways. Like, that's a ridiculous...
I agree. I happened to see this article on Drudge Report a few days back, and when I marked it for show prep, and I didn't know that it was actually ends up focusing on New Hampshire. So it started out talking about Maui and the islands, but also the Jones Act hurts states as well. It hurts people on the mainland, even though we have more shipping options than people on islands do, because we can get things on trucks here. But it still hurts us, and it explains how. So it says here that the ramifications are certainly on full display when it comes to Hawaii and Puerto Rico in emergency relief, but the adverse effects of the law reach New Hampshire consumers as well. High energy costs have been hurting Granite Staters for years, and the Jones Act plays a supporting role. New England's limited access to pipelines and minimal pipeline capacity make its entire energy grid more dependent upon shipping oil and natural gas from other states when demands heighten during the winter months. So, for instance, last year, you may not recall this, Bonnie, but there was an increase in the power bills.
Yeah.
That was like 20% increase, or 20, 30%
increase. I
recall
that, Ian. We talked about it on the air a lot. You
okay,
just
good.
Keep trying to be like, Bonnie doesn't pay her
attention
the bills
to the power
directly.
Bill. Yeah. So, anyway, there's they apparently have to get product shipped in from elsewhere during winter months. For New Hampshire to access The bulk of U.S.-produced oil and gas, though, would involve transporting fuel on tankers from domestic producers like Texas or Pennsylvania. But there's just one problem. The U.S. doesn't have any liquid natural gas tankers that are Jones Act compliant to ship oil and gas from Texas or Pennsylvania to New England. So of those 99 ships that we talked about earlier that are Jones Act compliant shipping company ships, zero of them can transport liquefied natural gas.
Wow.
So therefore, we just can't get it.
Wow.
Foreign-made tankers are prohibited from shipping oil and gas between U.S. states because of the Jones Act. The results include higher energy costs for Granite Staters, a greater reliance on imported fuel, and higher odds that New Hampshire suffers blackouts during periods of peak energy demand. The best option for Granite State consumers would be to allow any tanker to make deliveries directly between U.S. ports, and indeed, New England's governors have repeatedly sought Jones Act waivers to allow that, but they haven't gotten them. So even when governors get together in multiple states and ask for something from the federal government, like a waiver for this particular stupid rule that's hurting people, they don't even get that. So these people are protecting, like the federal government is protecting these 99 ships over the cost of literally everyone who's been begging for relief.
I'm completely convinced that protectionism was this ingenious plan to keep our country, people in this country, poor, while also making them believe that we're helping you. It's just one of these things they do over and over again where they break your legs and hand you crutches.
It would help open New Hampshire's energy grid to domestic fuel, doing so at a lower price than imports. In fact, J.P. Morgan analysis finds that merely suspending the Jones Act could save consumers 10 cents per gallon on gas just by allowing more inexpensive foreign ships to transport domestic gas between U.S. ports. The Jones Act even contributes to New England's traffic troubles because the law effectively prevents transporting domestic cargo over coastal waters. The freight that otherwise would be shipped by sea is instead hauled in by truckers, which further clogs the interstate surrounding New York City and Boston.
Wow, making it more dangerous. I hate driving around big 16-wheelers.
Right, loaded with
gas?
Yeah, explosive fuel.
Well, either way, but still.
Out of time for tonight. You can join more Free Talk Live as the week goes on. And you can join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guide with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. You're currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.